This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Umar, the executive director of Secure Free Society, and Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil. We first want to wish everybody a very good and safe Mardi Gras beginning soon enough. However, we have to attend to the geopolitics of Brazil with the new president, who is a former president, Lula da Silva, traveling to Washington to meet with President Biden, to make remarks about the Amazon, about climate change, to meet with members of the Senate, important members of the Senate. What appeared from the outside to be a festive atmosphere, two men sharing a great deal of experiences together, the two presidents in the Oval Office. Ernesto, I come to you. Were there any surprises to you in the visit of President da Silva to Lula da Silva to Washington? Anything you had not expected to see?
Well, John, unfortunately not. No surprises. I expected, and many people in Brazil expected, a visit that's basically a show-off of Lula and some sort of legitimation of his government, of his administration, by the U.S. and the international community. Since we have so much, so many sources of illegitimacy in Brazil, the fact that Lula is a convicted corrupt person, although later freed by the justice. Anyway, so I think this is what the visit was meant for legitimation purposes, and that happened. Otherwise, it was totally empty in terms of concrete results. I compare it very unfavorably with the visit of President Bolsonaro to Washington back in 2019, which I, of course, accompanied as foreign minister then. We brought what even the opposition press characterized as the best package that Brazil obtained from the U.S. in 30 years, with agreements on science and technology, on defense, economic and trade issues, support for the entrance to the OECD, the status of preferential ally, and among many other things. Now we don't have almost anything. The only concrete area that you can point to is what many in Brazil are characterizing as a renouncement of sovereignty over the Amazon, with the signs that Lula gave that, okay, we would accept some sort of international governance over the Amazon in exchange for unspecified amounts of resources. We can characterize that. Okay, Lula went to Washington to for the world to see him as a valid leader and not as a corrupt leader, and to give away the Amazon. And basically, that's the price for his legitimacy and the one of his government, to sell Brazilian sovereignty in exchange for being recognized as a as an international leader.
The State Department, does it have a policy toward Brazil? Is it going to use Brazil as an anchor for its policy throughout the region? Or is Brazil a standalone or nothing at all? Do we know?
No, I don't think that the State Department has a vision about what Brazil and the U.S. can accomplish together. They have a very limited impression regarding Brazil. I think during the Bolsonaro administration, the deep state and the State Department, they tended not to be very sympathetic to Brazil because of the image that President Bolsonaro projected as a contrast with all the initiatives that we were trying to develop together from the top down. This was from the top down always. So Trump and Bolsonaro, Mike Pompeo and myself, we tried to devise a lot of initiatives that unfortunately sometimes found opposition in the deep state. And now they seem to have inverted that simplification, and they see, okay, now Lula is an ally in our climate policy, and that's what matters. And they don't see what's happening to the region, how you have this sort of U.S. losing any sort of influence over Latin America and being replaced by China, Russia, Iran. They seem to only care about the sort of woke foreign policy. And, okay, if Lula makes the right noises about the environment, he's okay.
Joseph, Iran, this is an odd story that gets stranger. Rio de Janeiro. Brazil bowed to U.S. pressure and declined an Iranian request for two of its warships to dock in Rio de Janeiro at a time when President Lula da Silva was planning his trip to Washington. Brazil's decision, this is Dateline, February 9th, so days past. Brazil's decision represents a gesture for closer ties with the Biden administration. What Iranian warships? And the last time we talked, I believe they were bound for Rio. Did Brazil reach out and cancel it because the White House asked? Do we know where they are?
Okay, John. Yeah, so there's been a lot of misreporting with this story, and I'm going to try to clear some of the facts up. First of all, the Brazilian government initially authorized the berthing of these two warships from Iran inside their country, specifically at a port in Rio de Janeiro. The authorization came on January 23rd, and it was extended to January 30th. So that means that the Iranians had this window of time that they were authorized to berth these warships in Rio de Janeiro. That did not happen. Those warships did not arrive during that window. And so by extension, they were not authorized to berth. There is reporting from newspapers inside Brazil that I haven't been able to confirm that the Iranians made an informal outreach, not a formal request as they did before, but an informal outreach to see if they could bring the warships to Rio de Janeiro on this past Friday, on February, well, I don't have the date in front of me, but this past Friday, exactly the day in which Lula da Silva was meeting with President Biden at the White House. So that would have been obviously a show of aggression, a show of projection of power by Iran by doing so. But it's not confirmed that that actually happened. That's something that the Brazilian media reported. The ships obviously didn't arrive on Friday. And so they're trying to spin that as, well, Lula did a good gesture with the United States by not allowing these ships to arrive, to not spoil the meeting in D.C. with President Biden. But what I do know, John, and this has also been reported, that these ships are still sailing through the South Atlantic, and that there is strong rumors that they're going to be reauthorized to berth at the port in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, at the end of February. So what it seems to me is that Lula da Silva did not deny these Iranian ships to come into his country. He simply delayed it. And that delay can happen for many reasons. It could happen because of maybe diplomatic pressure from the United States, who knows? But it also can happen that the fact that these warships from Iran, their two specific warships, the Makran and the Dana, are not the best at sailing the blue water. And so they could have been having some logistical challenges. But the latest that I've heard is that they are scheduled to come to South America in late February.
Ernesto, what can these two warships accomplish in Rio de Janeiro during or right after Mardi Gras? What is the sense of why they're going to Brazil? What does the public think?
Well, the more enlightened part of the public see this as a part of a reorientation of foreign policy towards the bad actors, towards the Tehran-Beijing-Moscow axis. And at the same time, with all the environmental talk is serving as a bridge to the U.S. and the Europeans. So, and that I partake of that opinion. I mean, I think Lula is, of course, re-engaging Brazil with the bad axis, the bad actors, and managing to have a good image with the democracies, or I don't know if we can call them democracies to a certain extent anymore, but anyway, to create this bridge with the U.S. and the Europeans with his talk on the environment. Of course, the Lula supporters would say, oh, this is the tradition of Brazil being neutral in any sort of international affairs. Well, in some cases, you can't be neutral, I think. In some cases, you are either supporting one or the other, and your lack of support means that you're siding with someone. But I think we should expect more of this. This is, of course, a symbolic gesture. I don't know what these ships would accomplish by themselves, but they symbolically, this would mean a lot. And this would certainly come with more and more veiled, I think, initiatives, I'm afraid, regarding a nuclear program, for example. Lula had, or tried to make one of his key achievements back in 2010, as the agreement with the then president of Iran, Ahmadinejad, and Turkey regarding the Iranian nuclear program that would make it easier for Iran to enrich uranium. So I don't know. Only bad things can come from that.
Joseph, have you heard or seen anywhere reporting about what Iran gets from this? Their agents throughout Latin America are Hezbollah. Does Hezbollah have a strong presence in Brazil now, or is Iran looking to redouble it?
Well, John, I think it's first is important to understand that Iran has had military ambitions in Latin America since the beginning of the Iranian Revolution. They've always looked at Latin America as a theater of operation for their military, particularly their IRGC, the Revolutionary Guards, to be able to apply their own maximum pressure against the United States. What they need to be able to do that, they need proxy governments inside the region. They need governments that are both sympathetic to the Islamic Republic and also governments that are antithetical to the United States. And they got that in Venezuela. They got that in Nicaragua, Cuba, and Bolivia. Colombia, I'd argue, is moving in that direction. And now Brazil. Lula da Silva was a friend of Iran during his first presidency inside Brazil. And I know there's no indication to suggest he's going to change that position now that he's coming to prison. He's coming to the presidency again after serving a stint in prison. But the other part to this, John, is the nuclear profile. We all know about Iran's ambitions with their nuclear program. We all know the military dimensions of their nuclear program. But what many people don't realize is part of that nuclear program has historically been connected to South America. Not to mention that one of their nuclear reactors is modeled after a nuclear reactor in Argentina, but Iran has been involved in advising Latin American governments to create their own nuclear programs, most notably Bolivia. Bolivia's nuclear program, which many people don't even know exists, is financed by Russia, provided technology and loans through China, and advised by Iran. And that nuclear program is one that I think the intelligence community has been watching out for. So this, to me, is a sign of Iran's ability to escalate tensions and bring the conflict closer to the United States via Latin America, something that they've always had a plan to do. And it seems like now is the time.
Amazon. Ernesto, you mentioned the Amazon is critical to the Biden administration for its concerns on the climate. But there's this from Sao Paulo in these last days. Reuters, Brazil's federal police said they had launched a fresh operation to fight wildcat mining in the Yanomami indigenous territory amid a humanitarian crisis blamed on illegal gold miners in the region. Is this Brazil being effective, or is this a gesture towards Washington to transfer what you'd have to say good feelings to the Lula da Silva presidency from Washington?
Well, John, I think this is a gesture. This is playing to the public, or international public, and not to the reality. The Yanomami question, and I've been talking with friends I have in the region, is much more complex than that. Well, first of all, you have the issue that part of the Yanomami territory is in Venezuela. So, and we have about 20,000-30,000 Yanomamis living on the Brazilian side, and about 10,000 on the Venezuelan side. And of course, I can't confirm that, but I have friends saying that all those Yanomamis that appeared in the worst conditions in terms of nutrition, etc., are from the Venezuelan side that crossed to Brazil because of the situation is so bad there in Venezuela. Right. And because they are so much under pressure by the illegal mining or legal or whatever in Venezuela, Maduro is destroying the forest and destroying the rivers on the Orinoco Basin in order to extract gold and export gold as one of the key resources to maintain his regime. On the Brazilian side, of course, there is the problem of illegal mining. The way to address this, that's what we wanted when I was in the cabinet, was to make it legal, because the constitution in Brazil says it's legal to mine in indigenous territories, provided you have legislation regulating that. And we never managed to approve that, because what happened is that You have lobbies in favor of not legalizing it to keep the illegal mining. What happens that if you cannot do that legally with resources coming in part to the indigenous populations with environmental protection, that's what would happen. You have not a virgin forest. You have what you have now, illegal mining, right? Those people are very poor in the region. And it's not a question also of white people against indigenous people. The illegal miners, 99% are people of almost 100% almost pure indigenous descent. Okay, so they're very poor people who have no job, no other resources to make a living. So they are attracted to that. So also what you need is investment, right? Private sector investment to create jobs in the cities to keep those people away from environmental damage. As long as you have this police approach of going there, okay, you can go there and arrest a bunch of those poor people who are doing the illegal mining there. This is not going to solve the problem. Okay, so people have to have a more, let's say, more cold vision of the Amazon and not this creation of the good and the bad. Like it is now.
Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, Joseph Umar, Center for Secure Free Society. When we come back, a murder investigation in slow motion. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes and suddenly everything seems darker, less lively, and you lose your motivation to get out of bed.
If you struggle with depression, you're not alone. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, and no matter the time of year, it may affect your behavioral or physical ability to live a happy life.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you're going through, and we're here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. Because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental wellness.
If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.